Let's head to the coast now. Alan Curnow is with us. She's a reporter with Westport News covering the West Coast. Kia ora, Alan. Great to have you with us.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Now, a master planning exercise is underway in Westport. This is the Bullitt District Council. What specifically are we talking about here?
Yeah, well, it is a disaster response to the 2021 floods here in Westport. And I'm sure your listeners will remember that that was a really big event here. About a quarter of the houses were flooded. So the government put in $500,000 to undertake this master planning. And some of it is about responding to risk and thinking about whether Westport is it's viable for further development, where it is sitting between two rivers. So some of it is about that idea of managed retreat, but it's not really about scooping up the town and very carefully moving it to higher ground and putting it there. That's not possible. So the regional council is building flood walls around Westport. We talked about this last time, but those walls actually only have a lifespan of about 30 years. And the wall designers have warned that eventually the water will win. So the master planning is about looking at the future of the town and the wider area and thinking about future development, future infrastructure, but also the economic and social implications for Westport. So how do we attract new people here? How do we attract new industry, tourism, things like that? And your listeners probably know that this town was built for mining, coal mining predominantly. So, you know, that the coal mining industry might have a limited lifespan. So what next for Westport is really the question. And one thing that's happening is a company has set up a mineral sand mine. So the elements in this sand are used to make batteries and things like that, stuff that goes into paint, all sorts of different applications. So there's a little bit of hope there that will change that sort of boom and bust cycle of mineral extraction for Westport. There's a big barge on the way. It should be leaving Indonesia to head this way in the next couple of weeks. And so that might also encourage other bulk shipping and bulk logistics out of the Westport port, which is something that the council is pinning quite a bit of hope on at this stage.
It's really interesting. So this is a separate exercise to that 10-year planned trauma that all these councils are going through. Remind me of the barge and its purpose. It's to allow freight to move up the West Coast by barge. It's got some challenges, hasn't it? There's a pretty challenging bar just off the coast there. But what is the plan for that, Ellen?
So dredging is really important in the Buller River. Yeah, the bar can be pretty treacherous. I know that earlier this year it was really low, like it was less than a metre deep in there. So it's really important to keep the dredge going. And that's an expensive proposition. So there's hope that the sand mining will mean that can happen. And if the dredging is happening, then that means that the port will be viable for other commercial uses. The government put quite a bit of investment into that as well. They NZTA started a coastal shipping project. They poured about $30 million into that, and $7 million went to this local company, Westland Mineral Sands, to buy this barge from Indonesia. So we'll see. It's been held up a few times. I think it was originally supposed to arrive at the end of last year, but it's had a couple of issues, and it's still doing sea trials and things like that. And it'll need to do more sea trials in Nelson before it can finally come around to Westport.
Just back to the flood resilience issues, and also, you know, the retreat that's going to have to happen at some point, or relocation. Very interesting, the government just announcing this morning a bipartisan select committee inquiry into these issues right around the country. But just come back to that element of the master planning. Who's doing what with respect to that? What questions, I guess, is it asking?
So I think the good thing about the master planning is it is bringing the community on board. So they've got this group who are running stakeholder workshops at the moment, but there'll be a wider community consultation later. I guess it's similar to, you know, Christchurch post-earthquake. You have to bring people with you. You can't just do stuff to them. So I think that's the idea of what they're trying to do. But some of it, like, there are parts of Westport where people shouldn't live, and that's the really difficult conversation. One thing that needs to happen is for roading and water and sewage infrastructure to be built in the places that are safe to develop. So that's one of the things that the district council needs to work on quite hard. All right. And the other is protecting the infrastructure and the assets that are already here.
Alrighty.
So there's kind of those two pieces of work going on at the same time.
Now, the permanent closure of a rest home in Reefton is causing concern. I remember this at the time. I think it was during the pandemic, wasn't it, that it closed for time, and it caused considerable disruption to people. Just explain why. Like, you know, how much choice is there, if any, for people? Just explain a bit more.
Reefton is a very small town. It only has about 1,000 people. This rest home facility had 12 beds. But yes, you're right, during COVID, I think just when the Omicron outbreak was looming, the former DHB temporarily closed the facility almost overnight. These people were shipped out to Greymouth or Westport or even Christchurch with very little consultation with families. It was obviously very disruptive to those people. That was in March 2022, and it's been in limbo ever since then. And then just last Monday, Health New Zealand announced that it would be closing permanently, that it couldn't get staff, that the facility itself wasn't fit for purpose. And that's been a real blow to that community. I mean, only two of those people who were shipped out in 2022 are still alive, and a lot of others who would have liked to stay in their hometown have had to go to other towns since. So that's a real challenge there in Reefton. But if there's one thing that small communities like Reefton do really well, it is organise, and they are organising. So they've set up a health action group. They've gathered 2,000 signatures on a petition. They have been to speak to the district council. They have been to their local community board meeting, and they are really pushing for some way that Reefton elderly can stay in Reefton. They don't know what that is yet, though.
Alrighty. Now, Alan, every Friday, the Westport News features a local person having a bit of a yarn. There are a couple you'd like to share with us today.
Yeah, if that's all right. So I guess this is one of the really nice things about being a community paper as well as a serious daily. We love our human interest stories, and we love local people. So our reporter, Raquel Joseph, writes a column called Our People every Friday. And we've been doing this for years, and we have never missed one. So she hustles, and she always finds someone to have a yarn. And last week, it was quite a dear friend of mine, Brian Forsyth. And he has been a teacher at Buller High School for 40 years, and he just retired at the end of term one. So, like, when you think about it, when Brian started teaching, they were still using chalk and blackboard. They probably were still using the cane as well. So he's sort of been a real institution in that school. He told Raquel that his education career began in the pub. So he was having a beer, and the principal of a local school came up to him and asked him if he'd like to teach a manual training class because he was a builder. he said, "Oh yeah, I'll give it a shot." And he sort of trained while he was on the job, then headed off for a year of teachers' college and came back to his old school, Buller High School, and stayed there for all that time, doing a range of jobs, coaching the first 15, teaching graphics and woodwork, and eventually becoming deputy principal. Everyone calls him Fozzie, and he is deeply respected in this community. He has taught generations of Westport kids, and I think it's his firm, fair, and friendly approach that they've always appreciated.
Very good.
But teaching is a stressful job, and I did see him when he popped in to talk to Raquel, and I think retirement suits him. He's a full-time cyclist and fisherman now, and I'm sure that he's looking forward to spending a lot more time on the river when the whitebait season rolls around. I
Righty,
know
was
he's
there
got a good Fozzie.
another character this week?
I think this week we've got actually one of our own employees who is leaving. Shana is our printer. We run a big old-fashioned printing press, still in broadsheet, and Shana's got a job up the hill at Stockton Coal Mine, so she's leaving us, and we've featured her today.
Very
But
good.
we get all sorts of characters. We get people come in to show us their giant tomato that they've grown and things like that. Like that's the beauty of a local paper, I suppose.
Good stuff, Alan. Thank you, Alan Curnow, who is with Westport News. She's based there at covering the West Coast.